Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, and the scripture lessons are from Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 13, and the gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. Today's message is titled, Righteous and Eternal is the Law. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 153. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Here ends our reading from Psalm, Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Do you not know, brothers? For I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passion aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I had not known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good, then, became death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Here ends the reading from Romans, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Jesus goes on, continues speaking. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace, to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised, that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. One of my favorite actresses is Maureen O'Hara. Several of her movies I actually watch quite regularly. The first movie I saw was in the summer, it's possibly 1968, 1969. It was shown as a TV special during the summer, one of those wonderful World of Disney specials. I'm guessing the year, but I knew it was in the summer. I know it was in the summer because I remember being at my uncle's house. I was in the basement at my uncle's house in the Twin Cities watching on their color TV, The Parent Trap, with Haley Mills playing those two roles. I really enjoy the movie as Haley Mills plays Susan and Sharon, twin sisters raised apart on opposite shores of America, one in Boston, one in California, and I can watch that movie several times a year. Maureen O'Hara is cast as the mother of the girls, and she's the one that raises Sharon, prim and proper, in Boston. Meeting at summer camp, the girls switch places so the parents will have to meet again to switch them back. Hence, The Parent Trap. Now, another movie I enjoy watching over and over and over is the 1947, yes, the black and white version of Miracle on 34th Street. You know, the one with Natalie Wood as the little girl? And at the time, I didn't pay much attention, you know? It was Maureen O'Hara as Doris Walker, was the little girl's mother in charge of the Macy's Parade, especially Santa Claus, Kris Kringle. So that's two movies with Maureen O'Hara. Now, another movie I enjoy, too, is you've got to add in John Wayne. So you add in John Wayne. Did you know John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara did five movies together? They enjoyed working together so much. So you add in John Wayne, and a couple more movies come up with Maureen O'Hara. Wayne and O'Hara, five movies together. Three of them I watch somewhat regularly. Two westerns, McClintock. McClintock, that's a good one. And the other one, Big Jake. You might know those movies. And then there's the one I really do like, The Quiet Man. Are you familiar with that one, The Quiet Man? Where Sean Thornton, Wayne's character, desires to court Mary Kate Donahue, O'Hara's character. And there are prim and proper rules to follow for the courting. And Michaeline O'Flynn will make sure no one missteps, the proper rules must be followed. McLean will make sure they're followed. And the proper earnest are the announcing of intentions. McLean's there. The permission to get it. McLean's there to make sure. And chaperoned all the times when you're out. And it's all overseen by McLean. All done to ensure and protect the virtue of the lady. Now, The Quiet Man was set in the time frame of 1920s Ireland. So now, 100 years later in time frame, Paramount Plus is streaming a new Bachelorette show, The marketing pitch is this. If you want to cover the young ears, you can too. Pansexual bachelorette seeks a soulmate with the help of her coaches in a house full of potential suitors. Drama arises as the contestants start falling for each other. This woman, this bachelorette, she'll be choosing from both men and women. How far humanity has fallen. In the sensuality of this series, how is one's virtue protected? Who, if anyone, is acting as a conscience of proper courting behavior? I tell you, for once the passions and lusts kick in, common sense and discernment and self-control, they all go out the window. And for the entertainment of the masses, the virtue of this woman is being sacrificed for ratings. And this woman will be used and she will be dumped. Though they say they're helping her find a perfect match, the format is geared. Yes, the format is geared for self-destruction. For the setting is against the ordained reality of creation. In the beginning, God created them male and female. It's written in Genesis chapter 2. Reiterated and by Jesus, it's recorded in Matthew 19. Jesus said, haven't you read? Don't the scriptures say? He replied, at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one. Therefore, where God is joined together, let man not separate. This is the eternal reality. It is set in the order of creation by God and will always be seen as such. And we know it is true because here Christ Jesus, God Almighty, is affirming it. Affirming it. And it's recorded there in Matthew 19. So in The Quiet Man, the movie, this understanding of marriage to be honored and esteemed and held in high regard, it's shown. Whereas in The Paramount Bachelorette, it shows the crassness of human depravity. Far from what true love would look like and what true love would do to another person. Rather, what you see on display is selfishness. Yes, selfishness is on display. And it's selfishness seeking personal gratification. It's far, very far from what sacred scriptures declare, as the Word of God declares what is proper and good. So the question to ask is what the sacred scriptures decree, is it truth or not? Concerning human sexuality, that chastity and singleness and fidelity in the covenant of marriage, is this truth? Concerning life and concerning sin, concerning good, concerning evil, concerning death, concerning righteousness, is this truth? Is what is written in these pages of the Bible truth that our hearts and souls ought to attend to? Or are we free to do as we please with no consequences? Listen to two passages of Scripture from the Bible. They're written years and years and years apart, several hundred years. Listen to them and see how similarly they really are. Psalm 119, verses 159 and 160. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed, useful teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. That's true because, as Psalm 119 says, all your words are true. That's what it means. It's true. To be useful, these words of God must be true. And indeed, they are true. In addition to that, these words of God must be eternal. And they are. If things change from moment to moment, how can it be truth? They are eternal. This truth is eternal. As you saw, Psalm 119 and 2 Timothy 3, they're written hundreds of years apart, different locations, different people, but saying the same thing. The words of God are true, and take them into your life. That word eternal, where it says, your righteous laws are eternal, the Hebrew word means always, ancient time, continuance, everlasting, of old, without end. Suffice to say, the Lord's righteous laws, they exist. They always exist, just as truth exists and always will exist. There is good, there is evil, and don't confuse them. The word of truth, the God-breathed scriptures, put forth the truth. They reveal the truth, not man's opinion, but the existing, always existing truth of God, which is righteous and is eternal. Years ago, I was at summer camp, and another counselor was going on about truth being relative. You've probably heard, well, truth is relative. That's your truth. This is my truth. You can have your truth. This is my. How many different truths can there be? Well, it's relative. You can have your truth. It's relative. And basically meaning different perspectives on what the Scripture stated. So that at various times, truth can be different. And really they like to go with this. That was then, this is now perspective. For we know and understand so much more today than they did then. You've probably experienced that type of interaction or conversation. That was then, this is now. We know so much more now than they did then, especially about human nature and what humans want to do. We know so much more, so you've encountered that, but there's a fallacy in this perspective. It's erroneous. This perspective is erroneous, that they did right then, written not as their own opinion, but what they wrote then was the revealed word of God, breathed by God. So that is an erroneous belief that what was written years ago in the books of the Bible are constrained by the wisdom and understanding of the writers of that era. That was then, this is now. What they're really saying is, well, the writers of that area were constrained by what they know. Well, it means that was their opinion they were writing. But if it is the very word of God, and it is the very word of God, it is not constrained by what the people know at that time. For God is eternal, and God's word is truth, and it is eternal. Taking a position that, well, they only knew so much at that time, is in de facto writing God-breathed and their inspiration of the Holy Spirit out of the sacred scriptures. And basically declaring the book is a the Bible as a book is just a product of man's ability, man's wisdom, man's opinions, and not breathed by God. It's not the Word of God. If you take the position that was then, this is now, we know so much more, you're really declaring the Bible is not the Word of God, and it's just a bunch of man's opinions. But I point you to the prophets. How did the prophets write? How did the prophets speak? They would speak, and I love the King James version of how they would speak, "Thus saith the Lord." That's much more powerful than "so says the Lord." No, "thus saith the Lord." I mean, That's how the prophets were told to go and do. I mean, you find Moses being sent to Pharaoh, and this is what Moses is told to say to Pharaoh. "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." And then throughout the prophets you find, "Thus saith the Lord." It's spoken, it's written. So it's not the opinion or the perspective of the prophet nor the writers of the scripture. It's the very Word of God. And as the very Word of God, it indeed is the truth. This is truth. Being truth, there is no time constraint on it. No time runs out on it. This is truth, and truth always exists. Truth is truth. It's always truth. It is eternal. This truth about truth must be understood. Truth is excludatory. Truth is excludatory. Truth excludes non-truth, untruth. You cannot have two things claiming to be true that are diametrically opposed to each other. Now, those two things, they can both be false. They can be opposed to each other and both be false, yes. But if one is truth and the other says, I'm truth, and they're exact opposites, there's no way both can be truth. Both can be false, yes, but they can't both be truth. Truth, the power of truth. No time constraint on it. It's eternal. It excludes everything that is not true. Both can be false, as I said, but only one can be true. One plus one is always two, and that will always be true. George Orwell was prescient in writing that classic 1984 back in the 1940s. Before writing his book, I don't know if you knew this about Orwell, he worked for the British government during World War II. He was a propagandist in the BBC, And from seeing propaganda in action firsthand and being part of it, propaganda, it's likely was the catalyst for the critical portrayal of propaganda, which is found in 1984. Ironically, it turns out Orwell was under government surveillance while he was writing 1984, which warns about government surveillance. 2 plus 2 equals 5. It really is used to point out totalitarian brainwashing. It's not from Orwell. It actually originated in Russia. It's Russia propaganda, 2 plus 2 equals 5. And the thought police, it came from Japan. During the wartime, the secret police would arrest citizens for holding unpatriotic thoughts. So those dystopian Orwellian themes of 2 plus 2 equals 5 and thought police and all that other stuff were warnings. They're warnings, and those warnings in many ways have arrived. And the current term nowadays is actually gaslighting. Gaslighting. Big Brother, the government, dictates the truth, and the corporate media gaslights you. Corporate media gas. The mainstream media, they're going hand in hand as the propaganda arm of the government. And the way you work it out, you repeat, 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 repeats those simple slogans, 2 plus 2 equals 5, 2 plus 2 equals 5. And as you repeat it over and over and over, this is affirming care, over and over and over, positions and perceptions are changed. Truth becomes what the powerful say truth is. The truth becomes not real true truth, but what the powerful say truth is. And the rule of law becomes two-tiered. It becomes two-tiered. One group, the favored groups, get slapped on the wrist for any consequence, just a simple slap on the wrist, if anything. And the unfavored group, they will suffer severe persecution. Truth is not important anymore. Severe persecution will be there. And they'll be sent to re-education camps. And we've actually had court orders coming down for bakers to be re-educated. You see, what Orwell wrote about is coming true these days. Be aware of it. To this still stands the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. Because this Word of God is eternal. Because it's spoken by the Eternal One. Sin is sin in need of redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. The commands of God reside in the order of eternal, and the human response to these commands of God still matters in the spiritual life of the individual. The commands are good, and though we fail to live up to them, yes, we fail to live up to them, they're still good. They're righteous, and they're true. And when we fail to live up to them, we have Jesus Christ. Mercy, forgiveness, and grace. For He knows we are made of dust and we are weak and sinful. And His compassion still washes us clean. It's nothing but the blood of Christ that makes you clean. What is happening is, let's lessen the commands. Well, we fail at the commands, so let's lessen the commands. We fail to live up to these ideals, so let's lower the ideals. Instead of the Ten Commandments, the Ten Suggestions. Actually, several years ago, a Far Side cartoon had that, the Ten Suggestions. I mean, let's lower them to the Ten Suggestions. You know, it's similar to what the Army has done. Not enough recruits meet the physical standards that used to be the standards that were easily met years ago. Let's lower the standards. And that's what they've done. And in some places, there's no standards at all for physical fitness or emotional fitness. Why have any standards then at all? Let's get rid of sin and just give people the 7 steps to happiness. Or give them the 5 steps to health and wealth, and so forth. Doesn't grace cover it all anyways? Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Did God really speak these words? If indeed God spoke them, we need to listen. And these words are eternal. There's no time out on this word. You shall have no other gods before me. God spoke these words. So these words are true. The Ten Commandments are true. They're eternal in nature, for they are the truth from God, the Eternal One. Along the same line, what is an abomination before the eyes of the Lord then, back then, is still an abomination before the eyes of God today. It's still an abomination. Leviticus chapter 18, many people want to cut that out of their Bibles. But this is how Leviticus 18 begins. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. And the rest of Leviticus 18 is examples of the behavior and practices of the people of Egypt and Canaan. And the God says, don't do them. Don't do them. It's a list of what not to do. For in fact, wickedness, perversion, abomination are some of the descriptions of those things they're not to do. And what Paramount Plus is doing to this young lady falls right underneath that wickedness, perversion, abomination. For ratings, for advertising, for money. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. And then jumping down to verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Do that which is good then, become death to me. By no means, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin, let that portion of Paul's writings breathed by the Holy Spirit sink in. Let sin be recognized as sin. It produced death in me, Paul continues, through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. In other words, you recognize this is sin. It's utterly sinful. It always will be into all eternity. We are sinful. We're sinful by nature from birth. We need redeeming grace. Only in Christ can we find this redeeming grace. It is through the finished work of the cross. I mean, succinctly said, it is the law that makes us conscious that we are sinners. You've probably experienced this with children. You may experience it in about a year or so. I mean, even a 2-year-old who stole a chocolate chip cookie with all the evidence of the smudge on the face and the fingers, knows he or she did wrong, and will look you straight in the eyes and said, chocolate chip cookie? No, I didn't. No, no, no. I mean, you've seen those videos on America's Funniest Home Video, haven't you? And you've probably seen that home in your own household too. Even a two-year-old knows they've done wrong. Chocolate chip cookie. The evidence is there. No. Adults are the same way. And the commandments show us how much we need Christ. For we can't keep the commandments in our own strength. We must be dead to them and alive in Christ. And grace in Christ. Christ's finished work on the cross is what we need. Righteous and eternal is the law. It stands there whether we agree with it or not, for it is truth. The law is there, and the only way to be set free from the law is to die to the law. Written in Romans chapter 7, as Paul expressed it, indeed, we who are in Christ have died to the law. Romans chapter 7, beginning of verse 4, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We have died to the law in Christ. But that does not give carte blanche to do as we please. The righteous and eternal laws still stand. That truth is still there. The commands of the Lord are truth for all time. Rather, we are set free to live in a new way. We live in the way of the Spirit. The finished work of Christ on the cross, that mercy, that grace, the forgiveness of sins, it stretches on into eternity. It sets you free eternally from the bonds of the law and the chains of slavery to sin. It sets you free to live new life in Christ. You will continue to struggle with sin. You will continue to struggle with sin from the youngest to the oldest, and you know it. Don't deceive yourselves. You have problems every other day, every day. You struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. We will continue to struggle with sin. Still, we die daily to self, for we have this new life in Christ. It's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 38. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. You lose your life for Christ's sake in that finished work of the cross, and you will find life. And so I give you these two things. First, and this is to help your discernment and grow in understanding and wisdom and knowledge. If the mainstream media are using the same talking points, using the same phraseology, you are most likely being gaslighted and being propagandized. If you go from channel to channel to channel, you find the exact same words, exact same phrases, you're being gaslighted and propagandized, telling you what and how to think. Here's an example for you. The Navy knew the deep-sea sub imploded the moment contact was lost. And the media for the next 3 days kept talking about how much air was remaining. We have to find them. Need to find them. Need to save them. The fact of the imploding sound that was heard, it directed the search to find the debris field straight and very easily. As soon as the sound was made, they lost contact. The imploding sound was detected. And they knew what happened. For 3 days, they gaslighted you. We have to find them. There's remaining air. That's an example, and I can abound with examples more and more of this. So if you find the same talking point from channel to channel to channel, you're being gaslighted. You're being propagandized. So I encourage you. I can find more examples. I can point them out to you if you want. This phraseology is pushing lies days and months on end. I encourage you to search various news places. Search for yourself. Discern for yourself. Compare what is out there to be found. And then pray to the Lord to discern the truth. Discern the truth. Orwellian 1984 is happening. And truth is oftentimes being called misinformation and cut from Facebook, Twitter, and all these other things. Second, and even more important, the Ten Commandments, see them as good. See them. Imagine if we all lived by the Ten Commandments. What would the world look like if we lived them out? But we live them out not in fear of constraint on our life. We live them out of love for the Lord. I am the Lord your God, have no other gods. I love you, Lord. I won't have any more gods before you. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. I'll be in church. Do not use my name in vain. I won't. I love you. That's the perspective to live by. And it brings life. Honor your father and mother. I love you, Lord, so I'll honor my mom and dad. I love you, Lord, so in all things sexual, I'll be chaste and fidelity, pure. I love you, Lord, I won't steal. You see the difference. We live them out to bear fruit for the Lord. We love the Lord our God with all our heart. That's the first tablet of the commandments. And we love our neighbors ourselves. That's the second tablet of the commandments. That's what walking with Jesus is. That's what walking with Jesus is. And you'll find it's freedom. It's freedom for the soul. Walking in the light of the cross of Christ and the finished work of the cross, that forgiveness of sins, that grace, that mercy, it will heal the wounds of shame in your soul. It will heal the wounds of brokenness and unforgiveness in your soul. The finished work of Christ on the cross is yours. So Psalm 119, verse 159 through 160. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. This person is pleading, God, love me as your word says you love me. Forgive me as your word says forgive me. Show me mercy and grace as your word says mercy and grace. For I know it's the truth. And we know it's the truth, for it's the word of God is eternal and the finished work of Christ on the cross for you and me shows it truly does redeem and save. Amen. And Amen.